It's so good to be back home. Home. This is home. And but we're making that adjustment to Florida. I want to say something. What Tricia was sharing a while ago about listening and about hearing what the prophet says and going to a place where you know the word of God is. And I thought about the lady that had the issue of blood. She knew where her healing was. She knew it. Although apostles had the gift of healing, or they had the ability to heal, she knew if she got to Jesus, that's where her healing was. That's where her healing was. So don't listen to all the voices, but when you know the voice of God is being given in a place, and you know that your answer is there, go to it. Make choices. Well, I'm at a hard place. How many want to hear about Florida? It's hot and soggy. That's good. Y'all just pray for me right now, because there's two things going on in my head. I have what God wanted me to share, I thought, last night and this morning, putting it all together. And then word started coming forth this morning, you know, and I thought, oh, God, I want exactly. I want exactly what you need to hear. Not what I want to share, but exactly what you need that will challenge your life. And let the Word of God settle down and take root in your life. So, Father,
thank you, Lord.
Y'all just begin to pray for me right now. God, I thank you. I receive the word from you for this congregation for such a time as this. You know exactly what needs to proceed from my mouth. God, you know what is in my heart. You know what is in my heart. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. You know, the word that you hear today, and I'm still not there, but I'm getting there. I'm gonna fly around the airport and find me a landing strip, and I'm going in. Y'all have heard this before. When you get just a little bit off course, you miss the runway. You miss your destination. We were taking a trip. This was years ago, I think 1975. Lived in Florida, and we had going to a church down there, Assembly of God Church down there, and it had a missionary that lived in Abaco Island, Bahamas. How many know about Abaco Island, Bahamas? How many don't know about Abaco? You're fixing to find out about Abaco Island. So anyway, we were flying down there, and there was a little 7-passenger plane. He flew about 10,000 feet, was the only height that he got. And we could look out, we could see storms, you know, squalls of weather. And he was circling, and he was missing the storms and what have you. And so we got to Abaco Island, and he started descending, and we could hear him. We were all sitting there talking to him. You know, he said, "Whoa, wrong airport." We were supposed to be landing in Marsh Harbor Airport, but he wound up in Treasure Key. So we were about, I reckon, 2,000 feet above the, so he just peeled off and circled, and about 25 or 30 miles over, he found Marsh Harbor. But just that little bit threw him off course. And it's not that far from the mainland of Florida over to Abaco Island. I don't want to get off course today. I don't want to get off course today. When you leave here, I want your heart to be refreshed, challenged, and I want obedience to come from your life. Amen. So when you got here today, it's like, oh, what was he talking about? No. It's going to take root. Amen. It's going to take root, and it's going to settle down in your heart, and it will change your life. And thank you, God, I am on course now. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Go with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Trisha and I are enjoying Florida. We live in a condominium, our first time to live in a condominium, and we like it. It's one floor. No stairs, ain't no yard to rake, no snow to shovel. Definitely no snow and shovel. And we look out in the morning, I look out and I can see the sunrise. In the afternoon, I go to the other side of the house and I look and I can see the sunset if I'm there at the right time. So one side is the intercoastal waterway, the other side is the Atlantic Ocean. Y'all just say hallelujah for Rob and Tricia. But we're enjoying it, and like I said, it's the seventh floor up, and we just got a good view, and meeting good people down there, And it's amazing. We were there just a few days, and I met a lady in the elevator. Thank God for elevators. I don't want to walk seven flights of stairs. Met a lady in the elevator, and we were talking, and she lived one floor down right underneath us. And the good thing is you can't hear who's above you. You know why? Because ain't nobody above us. No, they're there, but you can't hear them. But I met this lady, and we were. She said, you're a retired minister, aren't you? I said, I'm a minister, but I'm not retired. The word has already got around. And we ain't told nobody. But people find out that there's a minister in the house. And we believe that we're sent there to minister to those people that are in that condominium. A lot of older people. It's not a 55 plus by any means. But there's a lot of people there that are our age and some under, but a lot above. And we want to minister to them. You're going to appreciate this. A lot of widows there. I told Tricia the other day, I said, I'm going to start me a widow ministry. She says, no, you ain't. Pastor Todd, some of those widows, they'll just get up to you like this. You ain't touching me. You don't know me good enough to touch me. No, I'm not. I'm not. What you say?
Cheryl said they probably can't see.
You got a bright wife. I was wondering why they had that cane walking around.
Or they can't hear.
Now that was good. Oh, mercy. Gene, did I deserve that? Oh, mercy. Oh, glory. I'm gonna incubate that for about 13 seconds. Oh, mercy. But anyway, we're enjoying it. Praise God. Now, which way was I going with this? let's get back. Laying all seriousness aside, let's get back to the Word of God. Let's find the book of James, chapter 1. And I want to talk to you today, and hopefully this is going to make an impact, a tremendous impact on your life. And it's like you've heard the word before. You've heard these scriptures before. But let it take root. Let it anchor down into your life. And let it change your heart and change your mind. And if you'll do that, it'll help you. It will definitely help you. And listen to what it says. It says in the book of James chapter 1. I want to start with... Start with chapter 1, verse 19, in the Amplified. Now, the reason the Amplified on the screen is different than the Amplified that I read is because that's the Revised Edition. And we cannot get the old edition. That's why you see it's different. How many wondered why it was different on there? So If y'all will buy me an Amplified Bible with the Revised Edition. That's a joke. I can buy my own Bible. But I do need to get a revised edition. But listen to this. He said, understand this. He said, understand this. My beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. If you're quick to hear, you're going to be slow to get angry, and you're going to be slow to take offense. If you'll listen to what people say rather than jumping in and making your own judgment of what they're saying. What do you mean? No, that's not what I mean. Well, that's what you said. Well, you didn't get the right meaning, see. So be slow to respond to it. Quick to hear. Very, very quick to hear. For a man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God. God wishes and requires. And then he goes on to say, and let's go to verse 21, and I'm going to read this from it. He says, so get rid of. So he's talking to the brethren here. So there's certain things that we need to get rid of. When Trish and I were moving, and I thought about this as I read this particular verse. When Trish and I were moving, we started seeing stuff we hadn't seen in 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 4 years. It was stuff. We drug it from house to house, moved it from place to place, and stuffed it in a corner and didn't look at it again. You'd be surprised, Trisha said, I did good. It was stuff I liked. But it was stuff. It was stuff. It was stuff. And we said, now if the children see this, when we go to heaven, if this is here and the kids see this, they're going to say, what in the world was they doing with that? They drug that from house to house. And they want us to have it. Britton, you want it? Tim, you want it? Ron, you want it? No, we don't want it, so they can it. So we beat them to it. We got rid of stuff. I looked at stuff. I don't need this. I threw it. Dusty, I gave Dusty a lot of stuff. I told Dusty. I said, Dusty, you got my stuff.
And all the rest of the stuff.
But there's stuff in there. There's stuff in there. You may need it 8 or 10 years from now. Because it's been laying for 8 or 10 years.
I've already used it.
Good. And I had a workbench, and I said, James, you want to? Yes, sir. I want that work. I gave him everything that was in it. Stuff that I had accumulated over the years. It was stuff. I had to get rid of it. And think about this. The scripture says, get rid of all those things that slow you down. Run your race. Get rid of all those things. All those things that just slow you down. We were dragging that, and it felt good after we got. Now, one day you're going to have to get rid of it. Say, Tim, do you want this? No. Tony, you want? No. So, Wanda said, I ain't never wanted it. No. When Trish and I got married, I've told you this before, but you're going to hear it again. I'm going to tell on you. When Trish and I first got married, she likes cleanliness and just order. And she likes order. She orders me around all the time. No, she don't. No. But I had stuff I thought was nice. I thought it was pretty good. I'd look for it and it was gone. I said, "What? Oh, I didn't know you wanted to keep that." And I just threw that away. 2 or 3 weeks would go by and I'd look for some stuff. Oh, did you want to keep that? I didn't know that. And it was gone. So she slowly but surely trimmed me down to where I had almost nothing. No. I'll tell about the shirt, too. Let me tell you, you'll love this. I had a shirt I really, really liked. Long sleeve shirt that I really, really liked. This was probably, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, a long time ago. And I saw this guy at the church with it. I said, wow, I said, man, I got a shirt just like that. Exactly like that. Just like the one you wear. I said, where'd you buy that? He said, Tricia gave it to me. She gave him the shirt off my back. I said, well, that's good. And I said, why in the world did you give him my shirt? She said, I wanted to. So that was a good shirt. But we need to get rid of those things. And going back to the scripture says, get rid of those things that will slow you down. It's going to impede your race. It's going to slow your speed down. And I can take this back to runners. Help me to remember World War II. I don't remember, but I remember the history of it. And the Japanese had a plane. Their planes were they didn't paint them. They polished the metal. It was aluminum, I think, if I'm not mistaken. They polished it. Why? Because they didn't want the weight of the paint to slow the plane down and make it use more fuel. So there are certain things that we can get rid of that slows us down. We don't need a lot of stuff. We don't need a lot of the stuff that we're doing that hinders us from hearing what God is saying to us and going to places that God is speaking to us, but we're not there. I'll give you this illustration. When a few weeks ago we were headed to Fort Worth, Texas. We got to Georgia and ministered in Douglasville, Georgia, and then from there we was going to drive to Fort Worth, Texas, to go to the ICFM International Convention, which we're part of, have been since '83, and. About that, when we got to Florida, it's amazing. When we got to Florida that Friday, we got a call that evening that somebody had already put a contract on the house. The house had been on the market for hours, just hours, hours. So the people wanted to buy it for the asking price. Hallelujah. And so anyway, we said we cut a deal with them. So we had to have a place to live in Florida. And I knew that if we drove to Fort Worth, drove back to Virginia, that's going to cut our time, and we wouldn't have enough time to go to Florida, find a place, and then come back and get all the stuff moved. So we drove to Florida. And y'all tell me why I got over on that. Talking about being at the right place at the right time. So we got down there and looking and found what we wanted, looked at it first, and then began to get really distracted by other things that we thought was better than what we first looked at. So we cut a deal after we got back to Virginia. We called the people who we wanted to lease their house down there. We wanted to lease for a while and find out if that's the area we wanted to buy in. So we got back to home, got back to Virginia. Sunday morning, we talked to the people Saturday night, made the deal by phone Saturday night that we wanted their house. Sunday morning, Tricia said, Rob, she said, God woke me up this morning. And she said, all I saw was condominium. I had wanted it when we first got there, but I wanted God to speak to her. But there was those other things that were distracting. But thank God, we heard what God was saying, and now I believe, however long we stay there, that's fine. But we're right where God wants us to be. So there's certain things that you just have to move out of the way, just get rid of, and go where God wants you to go, and you will be blessed. We got down there on a Wednesday, and Thursday morning to sign the deal on the condominium, and the pastor asked me, previous to that, he said, how about preaching Sunday? We ain't even packed a box. So I had to get ready to preach that next Sunday at a church I've never preached in before. And they didn't even know me. I mean, as far as a relationship. So, but when we put God first, obedience to His word, obedience to His instruction, getting rid of all the stuff that we don't need, we can run our race. Amen? Now getting back to James chapter 1, and let's look in verse 21. So get rid of all. Now he's talking to the Christian, he's talking to the brethren. So get rid of all the uncleanliness and all that remains of wickedness. And he's talking to Christians. We need to get rid of stuff that the wickedness in our lives, the twisted thinking in our lives, the twisted emotions in our lives. We need to get rid of that. And with a humble spirit. And I like what the other Amplified says here. He says, with a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and, this don't say that, he says receive the word of God. This says receive and welcome the word of God. Welcome the word, praise God. Which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your soul. And you're going to hear this example again. Have you ever had somebody come to your house that you didn't welcome them to come to your house? They come to your house, knock on the door, hi, how you doing? And you didn't call them, they didn't say they were coming, and you really didn't want them to come into the house, but they were there. So you're standing there talking to them. And that's why, come on in, just come on in. You receive them, but you didn't welcome them. My brother and sister, how sad it is that we can sit in a congregation like this. Thank God you received last night from Brother Savelle. How sad it is we can sit in a congregation like this, receive the word of God, but not welcome it. You hear it, but you don't welcome it. God, I don't like what you're saying to me, because it's challenging what I'm thinking, it's challenging what I'm doing, it's challenging my direction. I hear it, but I do not welcome it. And you can find out who receives and welcomes the word when you get out into the workplace and you're talking to someone. You know they got the Word of God in them. They share it with you. They received it. They welcomed it. And their life is changed. But how sad it is. People will sit in a congregation, meet week after week, month after month, year after year, 10, 12, 15, 20 years down the road, and they're in the same location that they were 20 years ago. Their vocabulary hadn't changed. Neither has their actions changed. There was a man, y'all, I'm not going to call his name. Years ago. Pastor Rob, he had called. Rah, 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 rah. I said, whoa, hold it. I said, listen to what the word said. I know, yeah. You know him. Judy, you know him. You talk to him. Yeah. I said, hold it. Listen to yourself. And it was like a broken record. Year after year after year after year. Same thing. Single man. Couldn't get a date with a girl. I know why. He was a dummy. But it was the same conversation. Yeah, all the time. Well, he's in heaven now. But I've talked to people. I said, when he calls, he says, hold it just a minute, brother. And he'd fill my ear with the same junk that I heard 10 years ago. I said, brother, you ain't changed. You have not changed. I said, you've heard the word. You have had the word. You've had the word read to you. You've been given scripture. He had been given a list of things to do that would get him out of the mess he was in, and refused it. He would lean back into his selfish understanding. And then fight you because of what the word was saying, because he hadn't changed. Church, we change because of choice. Get yourself rooted and grounded in the word of God.
And let the word of God anchor you and hold you. And let the word keep you, sustain you, hold you up and undergird you. Get off of your selfish attitudes. Get off of it's me, me, me. No, no, no. It's him, him, him. It's God Almighty. Seek first. How many first places is there? How many first places is there? How many first places is there? God should be first place. And that's why I'm going to lean on this, and I'm going to get on this soapbox for just a minute. That's why it was so disappointing to me last night to go to JCC and see no one from Christian Growth Center but Pastor Todd and Trisha and myself. No one else. No one else. No one else. Some didn't know he was there, but those who knew he was there and didn't come, what were you doing more important than coming to the house of Almighty God and hearing what God had to say to you? What was more important? And in one day you're going to look back and say, well, I was doing this. I went shopping that night. What could you buy more important than the Word of God? Oh, I went to a sports event. How spiritual was that? And how life eternal was that? Church, I'm challenging you today. I am challenging you today to get rooted and grounded in the Word. I ain't mad at you. But I'm sure mad at the devil for the way he's twisting and you're allowing him to twist your thinking, twist your emotions, twist your direction away from the things of God rather than toward the things of God. And if you look at the rest, that said, receive and welcome the Word of God, which has the ability to save your souls. If you put God first, if you put God first, if you honor God, He will honor you.
He will.
If you dishonor God, He's not going to honor you. No, 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 no. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not an emotion. It's not a fleeting thing. It's not a wave. Faith is a way of life. Faith is a way of life. So we either live by faith, which is pleasing to God, or we don't live by faith, which is not pleasing to God. And if you look in Revelation, the faithfulness of people is what promotes them. The faithfulness of people is what gets them into heaven. The faithfulness. Amen. Now it's the time to say, oh me or amen. I want this congregation here, who's sitting here today, to be so challenged that nothing takes the place of God in your life. Nothing. If you look at what Jesus said, I think it's the book of Luke. He said, those who are willing to, this is my paraphrase of it, those who are willing to leave father, mother, brother, sister, children, houses, homes, lands, leave them. For my sake, you will receive in this lifetime 100-fold with persecution. Well, why did you do that? Because God said. Why did you make that choice? Because God said. Well, who do you think you are? I'm a God child. Amen. I'm a child of Almighty God.
Amen.
I'm a king's kid. Nothing stops me from pleasing my Father. Jesus pleased God in everything He did. Jesus pleased God in everything He did. Gene, I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to God. How can you be pleasing to God if you're disobedient to Him? How can God take pleasure in you if you're not obeying Him? It's like a disobedient child. Ain't that right, James? James never was disobedient. He never did. Were you? No. But it's like a disobedient child. I've told these boys this for a long. There's two ways to learn: instruction or obedience, or experience. Instruction or experience. Instruction or experience. Which one doesn't hurt? Instruction. This book gives us instruction, Pastor Todd, on how to live, how to act, how to make choices, how to make the right choices, how to put God first. You put God first, put the Word first. Obey the Word, and everything that you have need of is going to track you. Going back to even the old covenant, if you will hearken and heed the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Well, I'm not receiving this blessing. I'm not. Well, straighten up and obey God. Well, this ain't happening. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing when you're at work? What are you doing when you're in the marketplace? What are you doing when you're at home? What are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you reading? Who do you fellowship with? If you're fellowshipping with the world and it's more comfortable than fellowshipping with the Christians, you need to get your heart right with God. Oh, I'm just as comfortable, Dusty. I'm just as comfortable in the midst of the world as I. Well, we just need to straighten up. I'm not, Trisha and I've said, we're not comfortable in the midst of sinners. When I say that, sometimes you get thrown into that. But there's just that grieving they're doing and saying, and it's just not comfortable. Years ago, even when I was backslidden, 5 years I was backslidden. Before I backslid, the most I ever drank was a can of beer. And this much whiskey. Smoke like a freight train, though. Son, I could smoke a cigarette. Smoke cigars, smoke a pipe. Chew tobacco. That little bit of teensy, teensy, teensy. Man, I had me a chaw tobacco. It looked like a golf ball in my mouth. That's good. Ooh, you know what? I ain't going to tell you what I call that. How many know when you step out of a car in a parking lot and you step in it? That's like stepping where a dog has been. I ain't trying to sway you. And then what's amazing is they take it out. Brittany, you will love this, son. I was going to say it even if you weren't here. They take it out of the can and put it in the mouth with the fingers and then take it. Oh, man. Yuck. It was in your eating hole. And they take it, oh man, I got that all over. That's terrible, ain't it? That's bad. Carol said, yeah. And it makes those around you just want to say, give me a kiss. I'm getting home, ain't I? We're getting home now. Hallelujah. Why'd I get over on that? But if we will put God, get rid of all the stuff. Amen. All the stuff. And it said all the sin that easily besets you. If we'll get rid of it, we can run our race. Have you noticed over the years the racing outfits that the track people wear now? They're like glue. They're like glue. They fit tight to resist the wind. Just for a split second of time. What's holding you back? What's restricting your path? Let's go to the rest of this. In verse 22. And it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word actively and continually. Active and occasionally, active and sometimes, active and when you want to. No, no, no. continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize the meaning. That's what you're talking about. When you get to Revelation, it's got to be a revelation to you. You fail to internalize this meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. And continue on. Verse 23. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he's like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. Now, how many has done that? Man, you're looking, I know women do. Look at yourself in the mirror and turn, oh man, I got to do the hair, do the, and turn around and go back. I've done that, dog. I've done that. I comb my hair and I go back and have to slick it down some more, you know. You want to touch that? It feels like glue. I remember the guy that was the Bourbon Street preacher. I can't think of his name. He said he had his hair so glued down one time. He said, "You break my hair." So it ain't gonna break. But you look at yourself and you think, "Wow, what did I look like?" And let's go to verse 25. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law. He who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. Hallelujah. I'm about to say I'm about to run out of time, but I ain't about to run out of time. Look in. Go to Proverbs. Now I'll begin to wind down. I really want to impact some stuff here. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 18. I hope y'all are getting this. Don't be mad at me when you go. Say, thank God I heard. Thank God I was challenged, and thank God I will obey. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, let's look in verse 20. The Amplified Bible says, a man's moral self, the Revised said, a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now listen to this. He will be satisfied with the consequence of his words. And the old revision, which I've got here, says, whether good or evil, you will eat the fruit of it. And then it goes on to say in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. The choice, my brother and sister, is yours. What is coming out of your mouth? And I'll guarantee this. When pressure comes of any kind, whatever is in your heart will come out your mouth. Where the any kind of pressure, any way you're getting squeezed, circumstances, adversity, whatever it is, whatever comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. So how do you change that? How do you change that? You put the word in, purge doubt out. Put the word in, purge fear out. Put the word in, purge worry out. Put the word in, purge unbelief out. How many has ever taken, as a kid I've done this, and I did this the other day as an adult. How many of you have ever taken a glass of tea or a cup of coffee or something like that, put it under the faucet and just run the water in it and see how long it takes for the water to get pure? You do that. You just do it. You just stick that in and just run it. Well, what's in there to start with? Impurities in there to start with. But the more of the fresh water that you run in there, the more of the fresh water that stays there.
the more of the fresh water you run in there, the more of the fresh water that stays there. After a while, you pick it up and say, I don't see anything in there but water. Why? Because what you put in there purged what was in there out. So what is in your heart? What are you carrying around in your heart? If you don't like what you're carrying around, put something different in there. Put the Word of God in there and it will purge. Will it come instant? No. But it will come. It will come. I remember this. I remember what Teresa told me. This was just before Rob passed away. I think you'll remember this. Teresa came to me and she said, Pastor Rob, the church is going to see how you handle this. Do you remember that? You told me that. She said, because we knew Rob was going to heaven. We knew it. And she said, the church is going to see how you handle this. How did we handle that? With strength. Why? We were undergirded with the Word of God. We were sustained by the Word of God. The Word has the ability to sustain you and hold you up in times of trouble and pain. So whatever trouble you're going through, don't voice it. Stop. Whatever adversity, don't voice it. What are you doing? You're giving attention to what you're going through. You're negating the Word of God. Yeah, but you don't know. No, I understand. I'm hearing a person who is not a doer of the Word. You hear it, but you're not doing it. And all you hear is junk in, junk in. I don't want to hear it. That's just like that young man that we talked about earlier. You just don't want to hear it. And Trish and I were talking yesterday. And she said, we were talking about giving the Word, sowing the Word. She said, yes. She said, why? Why should we give someone a positive and follow it with a negative? So I hope today that what I'm sharing with you is positive. That it will change your life. That you will obey the Word of God. That you will put God first place and not somewhere behind you. Not somewhere in the back seat. No, no, no. God is my co-pilot, horse feathers. He is my pilot. He's not riding with me, I'm riding with him. He's the one, he's the captain of this ship. So what do I do? What do we do? What do you do? Do you meditate? I meditate on him every day. Every day, every day, every day, I meditate on the goodness of God. Trish and I wake up saying, thank you, Father. That's probably the first thing that comes out of our mouth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you for everything good he's done to you. If it ain't God, it ain't good. If it ain't God, it ain't good, it ain't God. So where is he at in your life today? If you put God first place in your life, he will destroy worry in your life. Have you ever talked to someone and say, man, I can't sleep at night. I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about... Stop it. The scripture said he gives his beloved sweet sleep. Yeah, but there's no buts about it. Either turn it over to God or do it yourself. And Wanda, I'll repeat this time and time again, and I'm going to repeat it again today. If you can fix it, you have to maintain it. If you can fix the problem, it is your problem, it is your care, and not God's. And you will have to maintain it. I told a person this the other day. We were down in Florida, and I was talking to a person. Well, as a matter of fact, it was a Sunday I ministered. And I shared that. I shared it from the platform. I ought to give you a dollar for every time I say that. Well, a quarter? No. But I shared that from the platform.
there was a lady came up to me. She said, "Pastor, you don't know how much I needed that. I can't fix my son and my daughter. I can't know it was daughters, not son. I cannot fix them. One has an emotional problem. One has a financial problem." And she said, "Me and my husband can't fix it. We can't fix it. We can't give them any more money. And we can't talk to her anymore." I said, "You're exactly right. Let God have it. Let God have it. Let God have it. Go to... let go and let God." Yes, yes, yes. Let's look in the... Oh, Jesus. I'm going to find it. Cast all your care. Cast all your care over on God. Is that 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Listen to this. What does the Word of God say? Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 6, and verse 63, He said, the word I'm giving you today is spirit and life. He said, casting some of your care. You can carry some of them, but cast one or two, half a dozen, cast several of your cares over on God. Because God wants you to carry the problems. God wants you to... Now, what does it say? All your cares. Church, we are not built to physically or emotionally carry cares. It will cause ulcers. It will cause sickness. It will cause diseases. Why? Because you're carrying something you're not equipped to carry. How do you release it? By choice. Yeah, but you don't... No. You don't understand. You choose. You make the choice. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, cast all your worries, cast all your concerns once and for all on Him who cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you carefully. It's choice. I remember this story. Brother Copeland said one time, he was talking about finances and ministry, and he was just overloaded with finances. He said, he was awake at night. He said, the Holy Spirit told him one night, said, why are you awake worrying about this? He said, don't you think I can take care of it? Didn't I promise you? He said, he just fell right asleep. Never thought about it again. Never thought about it again. Why? Because at that moment, he cast all his cares. Church, it's up to us to cast all our cares. And when somebody says, you mean you're not worried about that? Why should I be? Am I supposed to be? Worrying is a sin. Sin does not please God. Faith pleases God. Faith in His Word that He will get you out of this. He will take care of that monetary situation. He will take care of that job. He will take care of that business. He will take care of the family. He'll take care of whatever you put over on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. But it's up to us. Amen. I ain't through, but I'm done.